We're on Mizmor Yutes. Last time we spoke about the Sukkim Torah Hashem Tanim and Shivas Nafesh, Pages Hashem Ne'emonim of Kimat Pesi, because the Hashem Yisharim Santi Leiv, Mitzvot Hashem Borin Yiraz and Ayin Yiraz Hashem Tahir Amedes Mo'adet Mishvot Hashem Emes Tazi Yachas. We explained last week that the beginning of the Mizmor starts off talking about the sun in the heavens, and then the Mizmor moves on to discussing Torah. We asked what was the connection between the two. We explained that there are two Gibuyim of Kodesh Baruch Hu, two revelations of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. One is through nature and one is through Torah. And we explained, according to Mr. Tudor's Tavu, which is based on the Radak, that these Sukkim Torah Sashem Tamima actually show a contrast of the Milus of the Torah that the Bria, particularly the sun over here, don't have, how there are negative effects of the sun might be harmful, whereas the Torah is a Shiva's Nafesh. Sometimes the sun can impact a person's thought pattern, can impact a person's thoughts, in terms of confusing that, it confuses the person, or that makes the person weak. And we said that Torah is not kinesathy. We said that the sun doesn't always make you happy because you can get burnt from it or get dehydrated, whereas Torah is not kinesathy. Taught that if you look at the sun, it hurts your eyes, the Torah is nearer than I am. If you, the sun can sometimes be covered up. Therefore, it's not always a medes la'ad, but the Torah is a medes la'ad, and the sun, the heavens as a whole, the sun is setting in one place, so that means it's dark in the other place, opposite, whereas the Torah is nishpat Hashem, set in this, tzadku
yachdos. In what Torah can compare with nishpat?
What's that?
In what Torah can compare with nishpat?
In terms of what?
Look, Hashem makes two ways.
Yeah.
It means each way needs. Hashem doesn't make two ways which not in.
Is there one advantage of nature?
And Abraham only went to the way, isn't it?
Because so there's no Nevuah. Until that, there's no Nevuah given to him to give over the proper Torah. I mean, there's a Torah, there's an advantage, the sort of advantage, so to speak, of the Bria, that you don't need a prophecy to tell you that it can be understood through man's natural chokhmah, which means it might be open to more people to come to the conclusion that there's a Borei. We didn't have a Nevuah at Har Sinai from Hashem.
This is what I mean. No. If I understood this properly, and this was then challenged, the person who was thinking this way, his closest was this girl. You have a proper relation with Hashem, he doesn't need anything else. Because if he does need it, it means that the relation could not be only
Tzotzor. Thoughts like this. The Chovas Levavah, I don't really get into this right now, but the Chovas Levavah starts right in Shara Rafina. He goes at a great length to discuss the Bria and discuss how, through looking at the Bria, one comes to realize the greatness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and one comes to realize and comes to have a Charis HaTov for all the needs which are performed from a daily basis. So in that sense, yes, you would need a Bria for that purpose. Okay? And as I mentioned last time, the Rambam does write in one place that Avos Hashem is accomplished through looking at the Bria, and another place he writes that Avos Hashem is accomplished through learning Torah. So you see that both are necessary, both are valid ways, both are. One is complements the other.
Yes, you started like.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything there.
No, I was just saying. I was just explaining the Mizmor and sorry about the stuff. Okay. Now I want to give another explanation, fascinating explanation of these Pesukim, according to the Sefer Ikri. Sefer Ikri, Yosef Albo, one of the late Rishonim, writes on theology. As his magnum opus is Sefer Ikrim, which is based on the Rambam as the Yugimel Ikrim, so he has an entire that his comments on the Rambam, he holds there are 3 acres and everything else just spins off from them. The he gets into a lot of other discussions along the way. One of his discussions that he at the beginning of his paper starts off with is what makes a religion a religion. Meaning he's trying to think what are the fundamentals of any religion. And particularly he starts off versus, let's say, moral law. What would separate a Yiddishkeit from regular moral, from regular ethics?
Are we talking about Jewish religion or
the there are both aspects. You have to understand the difference between any religion, any deistic religion versus some sort of moral law, and then particularly so here over here in this chapter he's talking about.
Because I can think that
anti religion
sounds
sort of okay, he's talking about Torah here. Okay? Now he says a very fascinating point. Makes it, I think, at least 6 points over here. Okay. So the first point is that ethics can only achieve a certain amount in terms of benefiting, it benefits society. Okay. Let's say, having don't steal, don't kill, don't, you know, pay your tax, all these types of things that are beneficial to society. In terms of running society, they might even be beneficial to the person as developing the person's own character. But a moral law cannot do by itself is impact your neshama to give you hasharas nefesh. It cannot give you a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the afterlife, unless the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you this is what does. But just by being moral, being ethical, doesn't necessarily mean that that will connect you to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam the way the Ribbono Shel Olam is connected to him. That's what you do. Yes, you're going to be very, very moral, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you will have hasharas nefesh. It doesn't necessarily mean it will impact your, especially something which is, you know, something which is impacting society at large, doesn't necessarily mean that it's hashor to my neshama. So he said the Torah has an advantage of Torah Hashem Tanima Meshivas Nefesh. It impacts the Nishan, it impacts the Nefesh, and returns the Nefesh to its source. The Meshivas Nefesh, it brings back the Nefesh to its source, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that is the first advantage that Torah has over Stam ethics. Okay. Second point is as follows. And that again is the verse to the Torah Hashem Tanim Meshivas Nefesh. The second point is as follows. Ethics inevitably will be made up, will be formulated and contrived by an individual or a group of individuals.
Man.
Well, yeah, man-made. Now, once it's man-made, it's not 100% reliable, because you are dependent upon the person's biases. He gives an example over here.
Not reliable.
That's what he says over here. He says an example. He said once you can have people who make great people, very wise people who make great mistakes. The example over here is Plato. Tirakia Platon. He's like this. He's saying, how do you know your ethics are ethical? Maybe your ethics are unethical. He says, for instance, he says Plato decided that it made sense that every group of individuals who have a certain profession should have women set aside as wives for the people in that profession. Communally. That means that all the masons had women who would be the masons' wives. Not necessarily one man to one woman, but they would be communally the masons' wives. And you would have the carpenters. You would have the carpenters' wives. Like different guilds, you would have the wives for those particular guilds. That is what Plato said. They said it.
Well, it's hard. It has to be hard.
Maybe they shared a certain common way of thinking of those men, and therefore I'm not sure exactly what he, what his intention was, but he said, even Aristotle blasted Plato for this one. So he said, and this is clearly against the Torah, as the Torah said, there's a concept of one man, his particular to wife, or particular wives, but it's not because that wife is communal to everybody. He says, this is an example of you can have a great mind, a developed mind, who got it wrong in terms of deciding what's ethical and what's not ethical. And once he said he had a certain hanacha that the greatest minds of the non-Jews were Plato and Aristotle, at least at this time. And whatever they would, if Aristotle hadn't figured something out, if Aristotle would argue with Plato, that carried weight to it. Okay, hold on 1 second. So now he says that in that case, it's not reliable. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not reliable. If your ethics are based on a person's biases, you have no way of guaranteeing that is no absolute ethics. And what the Torah has is Edus Hashem de Amona. It is reliable. Makima says. Not only does it give you, very important, not only does the Torah give you, in terms of proper value system, there's another advantage the Torah has that you cannot get through merely philosophizing, and that is correct emuna. Something like this. The question whether the world is coming to open up, whether the world was created or wasn't created, was it always around? Yeah, Aristotle believed the world was always around. Okay, so that's not something that you can get unless you have, the Torah clearly tells you, yeah, to have proper emuna, it cannot be fact or fiction, is not something that necessarily is in man's hands to figure out. So therefore you need the Torah. The Torah gives you proper data to tell you what is the proper way in terms of our amigos, what is ethical, what's unethical, and it also tells us what the proper amuna is. So therefore in that sense, the Torah is either the Shem of money. It is reliable. Machina Tessi. Yeah, same, but as opposed to ethics, which Hoshikane or Shalom, you have no reliability, because I don't know that the person who made this up wasn't biased. I don't know that he got it totally wrong. Okay. Number three is an interesting idea. That is, you have all these people who run after all these different ideologies in life. Now, as you mentioned in the last point, who's to say your ideology is correct? How do you know it's right? And if you don't know that it's right, so in the back of your mind, you always have this nagging thought that, how do I know when I'm living my life based on it is right?
How do you know it's right?
What?
How do you know it's right?
No, so that, in a sense, well, we have to go back to Matan Torah, we have to prove that Matan Torah, which we can, but that's beyond the scope of this issue right now. In a sense, that we know that it's coming from a Masorah, which is based on an event, which is witnessed by an entire nation, which therefore has a status of history, as opposed to just a legend. Therefore, we know that our Torah is coming from, our source of ethics, so to speak, is coming from the absolute truth, from Hashem himself. And that said, the person can have simcha. A person is content with what they're doing, know that they're right. As opposed to a person who doesn't know whether the entire life system is right or wrong, they can never be truly content with what they're doing. And in that sense,
measurement speak. You never know the length of anything until you hear it. And a measurement starts. What is measurement start? Is that where you are?
Okay. And that's when you say, "Pekudi Hashem Yisharim." The Sam Chaylev, the Torah gives simcha because we know right. And therefore, they don't have this nagging feeling in the back of our mind is thinking of, yeah, really? Am I sure that this is, am I really living my life for this for some purpose, which I don't know if it's really correct to me? Once again, of course, this is at the point where you worked out the idea, the proofs of how we know the Torah is true. Sometimes if you take a standard teenager and you tell them this point, they're not content with this either because they don't have it clear either.
You know, just 2 seconds. How tough all my journal well through. There's one source.
And so on, you said?
There's one source. I got in the morning, I went to the post, and all of a sudden I understood that if my son will come to me next, Papi, why he should not hit my
mother? What's that?
Why could not hit my mother? Okay. I was not having anything. Mm-hmm. I think it could not happen. Because any my answer, he will have another answer why of I think, and I understood I have nothing. I absolutely to have nobody.
So the thing with the basically the thing over here is that there is an absolute. Here there are absolutes. And then, yeah, okay, very good. Next point. So again, next point about the issue of sharing or something like this. Now, then he goes on to say, the ethics can give us generalities in terms of, you know, be a nice person, be a kind person, be a giving person, give charity, and so on and so forth. But it cannot give us specifics. It cannot tell us how much charity to give. It cannot define in terms of who is qualified to receive that charity, who's not qualified to receive the charity. What is the order in terms of how you give? What's called stealing? What's not called stealing? What? That explains. That's what it means. That so that person thinks in the dark about a lot of issues. They don't have clarity. And in that sense, the Torah is mitzvah Hashem bara v'iras enayim. It clarifies. It gives light to the eyes. It gives us clarity about what we're doing, not just in general, but in a very specific in our actions throughout the day. We know that what we're doing makes a difference, and it's correct. In every action, I know that I have a choice of here. What is the proper way to do it? What is the improper way?
As a matter of fact, this story Hashem offered Torah, and they said, "No, what does?" Steal, you like to steal. Not one single nation you ever said you would like to steal or you would like to kill. What they said, there's no killing. Fine, and we will define what killing. Yeah. Will you define? What we don't like about Torah, that you define for us what killing is, this you can.
By the way, that's also what the Malvin explains why it is that in Sarah's Dibris is such a passion thing. It said because you needed to have these project things said with all the experience of Matan Torah shaking us up, because in that case, if we don't have that, throughout time, so that our morality is going to change, you know, this is not exactly killing, this is not exactly stealing, and it's, but once we have it clear that why Hashem, at Matan Torah, shaking us all up, saying, no, this is what I'm telling you, this is it, don't start giving excuses, don't want other things in the way. Okay, next point. Next point is, the next point is that morality will change. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, big philosophers. Look at this, take a look outside, you know? Yeah, and every. It doesn't take much, figure it out. Yeah, exactly. And every society will change, and throughout time will change. That's the difference between Torah is immutable. So it's Yiras Hashem Torah Omedes La'ad. It stays forever. The same Torah that we got back then is relevant to us in every generation. And finally, the last point is that you cannot accurately decide what type of punishment the person will get for transgressing some moral act. How do you know how to gauge exactly what his punishment ought to be? Yeah, well, this guy steals, this guy kills, this guy killed an innocent person, this guy killed somebody. Well, wasn't exactly self-defense. He could have just said, he could have done it a different way. Yeah, okay. How would you know exactly what to do in terms of meeting out a punishment? How would you meet out a punishment for something which is an immoral act, but doesn't necessarily affect another person? Yeah. So the Torah is Mishpatei Hashem Emes. The Mishpat of Hashem is true, it's absolute, and it's Sadri Yachtov, and he says Yachtov over here means both in terms of what the person does in action, and I believe what it does in Makshava also, and also what's done in publicly, and what's done behind closed doors, and what's done also by Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba. Hashem knows what type of punishment to give where. That's what the Mishpat Hashem Emes Tzarku Yachsav. He knows it's all clear, and he knows when to give it at what time. Next week, God knows Hashem, we will discuss the Mizmor of Al-Narizbara.